on, everybody, and welcome back to the Student Leadership Podcast. We're back. We're live. And of course, we had to bring Aaron Holt.
You sound good today. Your voice. That's like your 2 hours of sleep voice right there.
I DJ'd yesterday and I screamed a lot. So maybe I got that.
There's a little rasp there. You do. I like it.
Yeah. Like, well, good.
It sounds nice.
I brought it just for you. Actually, I decided to pull it out because we've got Carrie Brooks back with us again.
Let's go.
Part two. Carrie. It went so well last time. You had me questioning my identity so well, we decided to bring you back.
And if you didn't listen to that one, friends,
that's what I'm here for, Jordan.
If you didn't listen to that one, you got to go back and listen to that one.
Literally a must.
Yeah,
you must go back. You must run it back.
But we'll roll a different direction for this one. This is great.
For sure. Carrie, how you feeling? Doing okay. So glad to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I'm good. I'm excited.
Great. The last time, also, you have to listen to Carrie's last one because she had the most crazy story about homeschoolers and a play. It was probably
one of the top five icebreakers that we've ever had.
Mount Rushmore.
Not number one, but probably what do you think, guys in the studio? Maybe number five out of the top five?
I might go 4 or 3, honestly. Four or three. Okay. It's incredible. But we're not going to do that. We're going to go a little more abstract. Carrie, that was about your experiences. Today is about you. So I want you to picture you're on a therapist couch. And he looks deeply into your eyes and says, if you, I don't know what therapist
wow.
is.
Wow. This feels so intense all of a sudden. Wow.
Scratch that.
I'm nervous.
No, it's not a therapist. I was just trying to take this weird question and make it even weirder. If you were a vegetable, what vegetable would you be? Dare I even say, what vegetable are you?
This is taking me back to my VeggieTales days.
Yeah. You thought about that as you watched VeggieTales?
As my kids watched it, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? No explanation needed. What veggie are you? This was brought to you by our resident homeschooler, Colin Robinson.
Colin was one of my top five students.
Top five.
Oh, man.
Was he the top of the top five or the bottom of the top five?
You know what? I have to answer a very important vegetable question. I can't answer.
Okay. All right.
If I was a vegetable. Okay. Listen, you know what? I'm trying to like think of something like clever to say.
No, no clever.
I don't even know.
No, you don't need that.
Vegetables don't pick like that. I would probably be like a carrot or something.
Oh, I love them.
Carrot.
Oh, I don't know why, though.
Carry the carrot. Kind of works.
Carry the carrot.
Oh, carry the carrot. That's crazy. Do you have a gamer tag?
No.
That could be your gamer tag.
It's giving gamer tag.
If I do, when I decide to join the gamer community, I'll be the carrot. Cool. Carry the carrot goes crazy.
Yeah. WI site. I mean, just all the things. So great. Good. Yeah. Glad we got that out of the way. I needed to know that. And so do the students. But what they need to know more, of course, is whatever the heck leadership principle you're going to drop on us. So Carrie, we've got student leaders. We've got college students. We've got students in middle school and in high school that are leading the way, serving, helping to bring people to know Jesus, helping to make disciples. What leadership principle do you have for them today?
All right. So today I want to say leaders look for the outcast and draw them in, bring them in.
Ooh, that is true. Yeah. That is a distinguishing sign of leaders and probably just those that
you always know, you know, like I have the opportunity to travel to some different youth ministries. You do as well. Mm-hmm. And you can always tell the moment you walk in if there's a strong culture of student leaders there by this one principle right here.
You're very right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Or if you can tell if it's mad segregated.
Yeah. 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 Wow. Absolutely.
Carrie, I want to go in a different direction. We typically talk about Bible verses and scripture first. I'm curious how you've just been a youth pastor for a long time, so we'd be foolish to not learn and glean from your wisdom. What brought you to learning that principle? Was it your own student leaders that you observed? Was it like a teaching that you gave and then that kind of changed the culture of your youth ministry? How have you as a youth pastor seen this kind of fleshed out that brought you to this conclusion?
Yeah, so I think probably more on like the personal experience side. My family was kind of a wreck when I was in school. And so, but like I lived in a community where that was not a popular thing. Like there weren't a lot of, if there were marriage problems in people's homes, like it wasn't public. So, you know, I was like one of the first kids whose family split up, and it was like, I became like divorced kid for a little while. It was just like this really intense, you know, I was like, man, I'm just trying to find a place to belong.
Yeah.
And so as I like, you know, grew up and stepped into youth ministry, I really just, I have a heart for kids who are like marginalized and are just kind of on the sides, whether it's because they just come from like a difficult background, or they're just socially unaware, or they have a lot of sin that maybe like pushes them to the fringes. Yeah. Like anything, it just is like, man, like everyone needs a place to belong.
Yes.
So like for our youth ministry, we say a lot, you know, hey, we're not family how you've always known it. We're family how you want it to be. So nobody wants to be in a family where you're left out, forgotten, or unloved. So, yeah. So like when we're, you know, and I'll say to our students a lot, like, listen, the hallways of your schools are often not safe. The hallways of some of your homes are not safe. So this is a place where you can belong. And I think, you know, for our kids, like, I mean, we still have kids that kind of are a little bit more on the bullying side, right? Like we're working through it. But I think in general, like everybody wants to feel like they belong.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be cool if it wasn't just at churches, but it was hallways of schools where kids could belong. So,
yeah.
So that's kind of where the principle, I think.
I love that so much.
Well, and I just reflect back to the years that my wife and I were youth pastoring, and this topic of belonging, right, and creating a community and a culture, a family like culture where kids feel that they can belong. We often would say to our student leaders and to our adult leaders, man, if we win here with belonging, everything else flows from that. And we create relational, you know, like we always use the phrase relational bridges. You create a relational bridge that the gospel can travel from one heart to another.
Yeah.
But that's foundational to any healthy youth ministry. And it's also foundational to what we're talking about with student leaders. Right. And so coach the student leaders that are listening today, Carrie, there's a whole wide variety, the audience, you know, middle school, high school, college, campus leaders. What are some practical steps that they can take to grow in this area? Feel free to point us to a specific scripture verse or place in the text, where you kind of point your student leaders to.
Yeah. So let me give you like two like biblical examples, and then I'll give you some, I'll break it out practically. So in Matthew 25, Jesus is like talking about kind of like the end of time, like the judgment time.
Yep.
And he's like in verses 37 through 40, he's like, you know, one day you're going to stand before the king and he's going to like say like, oh, you did all these things. And you're going to be like, well, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When were you a stranger and we brought you in? When were you naked and we gave you clothes? Like kind of all those things. Right.
Yeah.
And the king will say back to him, like, I tell you, when you did one of these things to the least of these, you did it to me.
Yeah.
And so I think right away, like we need to be thinking like every person on earth, whether they're following Christ or not, right? Like every person on earth has value because they're his creation, whether they've bowed their knee to follow him yet. Like that actually doesn't make them less valuable, but they all have value. They have intrinsic value because they were created by God. So when we see people on the margins, they're the least of these. And when we're serving them, we're actually valuing the creation. We're valuing what Jesus has placed inside someone. And so we're doing it to the least of these, right? And then I also think of the story of Zacchaeus. And the thing about Zacchaeus, like sometimes we're like, man, Zacchaeus, like climb that tree to get to the Lord and all this stuff. But actually, like Zacchaeus was an outcast because of his sin.
Yeah.
Like he was a mess. Like dude was robbing everybody. So Jesus actually makes his way. Like, yeah, he climbed a tree because he's a short dude, right? But Jesus made his way to Zach's tree. Then he makes his way to Zach's home. And then he makes his way to Zach's heart. Like, he doesn't judge Zacchaeus.
She just dropped a 3-point sermon. No, we're not going to let you get by that. Say that again. That's so good.
Yeah.
Also, he made Zach, his way to, like, you know him on a personal level.
Like, Zacchaeus is so cumbersome.
Crazy.
Yeah, Jesus made his way to Zach's tree, then to Zach's home, and then to Zach's heart.
Caleb Leak is going to be preaching on that this week in his youth ministry. He's listening in right now.
The man can come up right now.
take it and use it, right? Like, Jesus doesn't judge Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is so messed up. Like, he's such a jerk. And like, Jesus seeks him out. He finds him. He invites him to like join his life with Jesus and to join his life to something better than what he has. And then what does Zacchaeus do? He goes and he blesses like all these people. Yeah, his life is just completely changed, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like Jesus gives us like this beautiful picture of what it looks like to go look for the one. Like, go look, like, you don't wait for them to come to you. Like, wouldn't it be great if everybody was like, man, your life is so different, I want to be like you. Sometimes that happens. But really, like, being somebody who looks for the outcast and brings them in, like, you actually have to do that. So practical steps, right? Number one, look for the one, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who do you know? Like, who's sitting alone at lunch? And like, I know some schools have like assigned lunch table, whatever, but like, who's walking to class on their own? Mm-hmm. Who's always in the bathroom crying? Who's like waiting at the bus stop and is not included in any conversation? Who's mm-hmm. the kid who everyone else is talking about behind their backs, but no one's talking to their face? Like, you know who they are.
Yeah.
You already have somebody in mind. So look for the one.
Carrie, real quick, then, can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
I just feel like, and maybe we dive bomb on this a little bit more in overtime, but I think it's important to note the one, the person who is outcast depends on the culture that you're in. Like, yes. I think Zacchaeus is a perfect example because in some rooms, Zacchaeus was the man because he was rich and he had money. Like, he in some rooms, but in other settings, he was not. And I think I think what I am just thinking even right now is maybe even some of the more quote unquote popular kids in mm-hmm. your school feel very outcast in your youth group because they're also a little bit of a, to your point, a mess. Hmm. So maybe the jock or football kid or who has to come to youth group because their parents make them go. Maybe they actually feel very outcast, like they don't fit in your youth group. And so we often might think, well, they're not an outcast, but maybe even God could draw you to the quote unquote popular kid that just does not fit your church culture. And I think maybe we discuss that more because defining what an outcast is, it depends on the culture. I didn't mean to interrupt. I know you were cooking, but I feel like there can be a lot of outcasts that go unnoticed because maybe their hair isn't, you know, blue and they're sitting by themselves.
Well,
and the God can use kind of anyone to reach anyone.
And I'll unpack that from a youth pastor perspective too. You have kids that feel like an outcast in their high school and not an outcast in their youth ministry
because
they grew up in the church. And, you know, so if you're listening, if you're a student and you're listening and you feel like, oh, I do that. Like I'm one way in one context, another in another context. First, go back and listen to the interview we did with Carrie about identity, literally. Right? Because that's actually going to help you at the root level, at the source level. But also have your eyes open. This is what Carrie's saying. Have your eyes open to be able to see that need and to be able to meet those kids and recognize who you are in the context.
Yeah.
Right? You're the student leader who's there in your youth ministry. And you kind of do know what it feels like to be an outcast, maybe in your public high school.
Yeah.
Recognize that popular kid from your school that's coming feels that
like,
in that moment
wear,
they show up at your church.
I'm the outcast. I'm going to wear that as an identity.
Yeah.
No, you feel pretty comfortable with your youth group friends.
Yeah.
Now you're a host.
Yeah.
Now you're a, okay, sorry. Yes. Find the outcast. Let's keep going. My fault.
No, you're so good. And I think like, we have to be, I think to your point, right? Like we have to be really careful. Like the goal here is not find the outcast and make them popular, right?
No.
Like the goal is find the person who like is out of place in whatever thing they're in.
Come on.
Right? Yeah, like wherever culture they're in, who's out of place that needs to feel like they can belong. And ultimately like you're a student leader, not just to lead, but to lead people to Jesus. So who is lost? Who's out there, who's outside the fringes of following Christ, who actually needs to be brought in. Look for the one. And then the second thing is like, be actual friends.
Yes.
Right. Like about pity. Like you're not taking pity
on the
person. Nobody wants that. Right. Like, so like you need to take time to actually get to know them, like ask questions about them, be an active listener. Where you're like asking questions and you're not just waiting for how you can say like, oh yeah, me too. But like, you're trying to actually get to know them and realize like, if you haven't been living that way, like think of how long it takes you to trust somebody. So like, if you haven't been treating outcasts quote unquote that way, they're not going going to just be like, oh, thank gosh, they talked to me. I'm going to spend my whole life. Like, you're going to have to like show up a bunch of times. You're going to have to actually be their friend a bunch of times. Like, yeah. This isn't a one and done situation. And I would say one of the ways that you prove that you're actually their friend is by introducing them to your friends.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not actually friendship if you're friends in secret. Mm. And so you got to be like, yeah, like I'm bringing you to something. It's not just befriending the outcast. It's bringing the outcast into a place where they can belong.
Ooh, that starts messing with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Some people don't like that.
No, some people
you can just be my youth group friend. Yeah, yeah. You can't be my real friend.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Right. Carrie, by the way, putting a pin in this, I should bring you in to speak to my student leaders because we do this. We go to a college campus and we meet new freshmen and the goal is to get them in our small group. But I feel like what you're saying sounds so much more like Jesus than recruitment. So much more like you belong to the family and you can be a part instantly. There's a seat at the table rather than recruiting for your small group or dare, you know, I don't know, making the Wednesday night experience great. This is so much deeper. I love that.
And it reveals, okay, again, students that are listening, regardless of your age or context, it reveals an identity crisis or an identity weakness in you when you are only trying to befriend somebody for the sake of recruitment, or you're not actually truly wanting to be their friend. You just want to do your job to make them comfortable.
That's crazy and true.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just going to do the greeting because I'm greeting.
Yeah. But I don't really want to be your friend.
Yeah. I'm going to go hang out with my friends as soon as youth group's done.
Exactly.
But like, hey, glad you came. Here's a t-shirt.
That's not Jesus.
Carrie's trying to get through her 3 points, but we're just not letting her.
It's so good. Cause it's like, man, we all can smell a fake from a mile away. Right. So like you can smell it. So like, you know, they can tell if you're just, if you're just trying to, you know, be friends for the sake of it. Right.
And I think
it's countercultural.
It is. And what sometimes the Christian student who's grown up in church all their life really struggles with is they feel like such an outcast at their school that when one of their school friends comes, it's like, okay, welcome to my territory now.
Yeah, right. I'm cool. Right. I lead worship.
This is where I'm at the top of the food chain, so to speak. Right. And so it can be really hard to develop that identity and that Christ likeness at such a root level that you're like, I have no desire to position and posture myself, whether I'm at church or whether I'm at school.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I just want to love you like Jesus would love you.
Wow. Yeah. I'm remembering my one-off year as a youth pastor trying to convince middle schoolers, like when someone comes, you have to, teaching them this.
Yeah.
And I realized I did not have the skills to explain it because they'd be like, I said hi to him and I sat next to him. I'm like, but you didn't say a word.
Plus you were talking to middle schoolers. Like if you're a middle school listening and you can get this deep in your heart,
dude.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's yeah.
For the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had our student leaders. This is not anything I was going to say, but we had our student leaders like sign up for different teams that they want to be a part of at our youth ministry. And one of the teams was the buddy team.
Yeah.
And it was basically like, I need one. So we have a student leader in each of our small groups. We do them by grade and gender. And I literally was like, one of you, like you decide, you can all be on the team if you want, but one of you from each small group needs to be a buddy. So when a new seventh grade girl walks in or a new 12th grade guy walks in, I immediately can be like, hey, so-and-so, this is your, like, let me introduce you to this guy. They're checking out our youth group tonight. Be their friend and show them around. And these kids like take it seriously, but it's because I didn't, because we had that situation all the time, Jordan, that you talked about of like, oh yeah, they said hi to them. And then they like promptly walked away and this kid's just like standing there and it's so awkward. And so,
They walk away because they feel awkward, but at least they have friends to go back to. It's like, oh, I didn't know what to say. It's like, well, how do you think this kid feels who doesn't have anyone to, like you ran to your favorite three friends because you're like, oh, that was weird. But it's like this poor kid. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Did you have a third point? I swear you did.
I think it was just introduce them to your friends. But I also was thinking like when you were talking about like, man, like having somebody popular from your school, like come, or like somebody who's the man at the school, like come where you're the man at your youth group. And I was thinking like, man, Jesus went to Zacchaeus's house. Like he actually put himself in a place where he had to be the awkward one. Like I'm going to go in and be with your friends.
Yeah.
Never really like picked up on that before, but it's like, like Jesus was like, oh, I'm going to be so much your friend that I get into your world. Yeah. I'm going to allow myself to be in the awkward place. Right. Like I didn't have that written down. It's
is
just
Zacchaeus that was for free. Is Zacchaeus my new favorite story?
Zach, you talking about Zach?
Oh, our boy Zach.
Yeah,
Zach.
Yeah,
boy Zach. Zachy.
Yeah,
short king Zach.
Two C's.
Yeah. That's actually that's crazy. Carrie, thank you so much for your time. There's a lot of depth there, and we're going to cook on the overtime episode, so make sure you tune in for that. Like we said earlier, hey, everything Carrie is in the show notes, so hit her up. Yep. Thank you so much for your time, Carrie. Seriously, you're such a blessing, and there's so much wisdom. Can we get her back some point?
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. Seriously.
We'll see if she makes it into the top five.
Yeah. Everything's top five these days.
Can I say one more thing?
Please.
I have a kid in our youth ministry who, I want to tell you like how I've seen this play out.
Yes.
Because it is really countercultural. And like, we live in a culture that's like so much a part of, you know, like making our social feeds about like tearing people down.
Yeah.
And so like, it's easy to kind of just join the noise of the put down instead of like building people up. But I have this kid who's like, I wouldn't say he doesn't fit in any group. I would say he fits in like a whole bunch of groups. Like he's this wildly eclectic kid, but he joined the bowling team in his school. If you're a bowler, like great, but the bowlers at our local school are just like, they're just odd. Like they're just odd kids.
I'm sure that's very atypical.
I don't know. It was my first bowling meet I ever went to. I went to this kid's meet and I'm watching him.
Did you buy popcorn at this one too?
$2.50?
I did not. Okay. It was not a homeschool bowling meet. It was a local league.
Oh, fine.
So I went and I'm watching him like interact with all these kids. And this kid also plays lacrosse. And this kid also is in band. And this kid also is a gamer. And he's just all over the place. And at our youth ministry, he's a student leader and he's like very popular, I guess I would say, at our group. Like he has a lot of influence. And so after the bowling thing was over, I was talking to him, grabbed a picture with him, talked to him. And I was like, man, I said, this is a really interesting group of people. Like I'm trying not to like, you know, whatever. And he said, yeah, they don't really, there's not a lot of places where they belong, but he said, I joined the team because I feel like if I can be their real friend, it's how I can introduce them to Jesus.
Bro.
And I was why are you not the youth pastor? In my mind, I'm like sitting there watching them all like, these guys are so weird. And meanwhile, my kid is thinking I'm going to be incredibly missional because my goal is not live really good so I can get to heaven. My goal is bring heaven to earth and be like connected with kids who have no other connection.
Wow.
I was like, man, I'm so proud of him. Like it was just so cool. But like, yeah, I just want to make sure I said that.
Like, I feel like that's like that could be a rally cry for your youth group, like join the bowling team. But no, like actually, you know what I mean? That could like represent like, yo, whatever it takes, wherever I gotta go, I'm ripping bowling. Did he hit a strike ever once? Yes,
he did. Yeah, he did. Maybe while I was there. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, it's cool. Like, I mean, I like bowling. It takes a long time. I clapped because I always try to make sure I know how I'm supposed to cheer at things. And so that's because of another situation I can tell you another time. But anyway, so everybody clapped and like, you know, I was like, oh, good job. And the kids at the table, they're kind of looking at me like, who's this girl randomly? I'm the only one there watching the game. So they're like looking at me and he walks back and he goes, oh guys, this is my youth pastor. She came to hang out with us today. Crazy. And then he like introduced it. I'm like, this kid's like so ready. He's
awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm feeling fired up. Students, thanks so much for joining with us. And Carrie, again, thank you so much. Students, we believe you're called to lead your generation. Do it with passion for Christ and love for others. And we'll see you on the next one. Thanks so much, guys.